Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, board member for Pardes. This week, Rabbi Schweiger discusses Parshat Lech Lecha. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Our listenership continues to grow through your help. Please also let us know your comments about the podcast. Write us via podcasts@pardesusa.org. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as Mashgiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Last week, we examined the personality of Noach and the generation of the flood. The last point which we made was that God tells Noach to build an ark. By doing so, he becomes a partner with God in the creation of a new world. No longer does God create a world which he hands over to humanity on a silver platter. The new world is one that has to be a partnership between God and humanity, where people have to play a leading role in creating an environment which invites the presence of God. In our parsha, we are told of a new creation, that of the Jewish people. Parshiyot Lech Lecha and Vayera focus on the story of Avram and Sarai, the founders of the Jewish people. The story of Avraham begins with the phrase Lech Lecha, chapter 12, verse 1, and culminates with another Lech Lecha in chapter 22, verse 2. In the original Lech Lecha, God says to Avraham, leave your land, leave your birthplace, leave your father's home, go to the land which I will show you. And in the second Lech Lecha, God says to Avraham, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, Isaac, and bring him up as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Our rabbis have said in Pirkei Avot that God tested Avraham with 10 trials, asara nisyonot. Commentaries disagree as to what these 10 tests were. I would like to go according to the school of thought that sees the beginning of Avraham's relationship with God, with the first Lech Lecha, and the culmination with the second Lech Lecha. What characterizes Avraham's life is Lech Lecha, go. And in that sense, Avraham is radically different than Noach. Noach is from the root Lanuach, to come to rest. And it would seem that Noach's personality is one which is very static. Static can be a very negative term, but static can also reflect stability. And it seems that Noach's role is to bring stability to a world which is chaotic. Last week we spoke about the world going back to some primordial reality of tohu vavohu. And Noach's job is to try to bring back order, to bring back the consciousness of God, but a consciousness of God which is based on following the word of God. Avraham is a very different personality. Avraham is a trailblazer. Avraham is a visionary. Avraham is constantly moving from place to place. But his movement is not only geographical. His movement is existential. In the words of the rabbis, Avraham moves from strength to strength. He climbs up the ladder. Or one could say he climbs up the mountain until he reaches the peak on Har HaMoriah with the binding of Isaac. The rabbis characterize this in a difference linguistic difference between Noach and Abraham. By Noach, it says, Noach walks with God. And in chapter 17, in our parsha, chapter 17, verse 1, God says to Abraham, Hitalech lefanai veheyetamim. Noach is described as an ishtamim, a man of perfection. Perfection is a state of being. He walks with God, but Abraham walks ahead of God. Abraham aspires to perfection. Noach is rooted in the present. Abraham is rooted in the future. I would like to focus today on seeing Abraham as the quintessential man of faith and exploring what that means. So let us go back to chapter 12, verse 1. When God says to Abraham, Lech lecha, me'artzecha, mimoladetcha, umibet avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. God makes it very clear to Abraham what he is leaving. It is very unclear where he is going. In fact, there is a textual problem. It should have been written, leave your father's house, leave your birthplace, leave your land, physically. That is the journey that a person takes. They first leave home. They then leave their neighborhood. They subsequently leave their land. But it seems to be that the Torah is not describing a geographical movement, but an existential one. Hence, the Ramban Nachmanides says, it is easier to leave one's land. It is much more difficult to leave one's home. Hence, God's directive to Abraham is a progressive one, a graduated detachment. Leave your land, which is much easier to detach from. Once Abraham has made that switch and he's in the mindset of removing himself from his land, it becomes easier to detach from his neighborhood. It's easier to then detach from his home, from his parents. I would like to note that although I said it is easier to make that transition, it is extremely difficult for someone to give up the surroundings that they are familiar with. It is extremely difficult to give up the relationships that they have grown up with. And even if we were to look at the Midrashim, which describe the tenuous relationship between Abraham and his father, one might say a relationship which is filled with tension, where they may have diametrically opposite worldviews. Terach, who is steeped in idolatry, and Abraham, who is the monotheist. Yet nevertheless, the trite statement, there is no place like home, rings true even for Abraham. Human nature is such that people are creatures of habit. People tend to stay put where they are. People find it very difficult to make changes in their lives. And I will add another factor. People are very afraid of the unknown. So that when God says, go to the land that I will show you, but does not reveal what that land is, that can create angst in Abraham. It is very difficult for someone to give up something which they are familiar with, which they feel secure in, to go somewhere which they don't know. And although God promises Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will increase your name, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, it takes an act of faith. It takes a vision to be able to make that move. This is the test of Abraham. Is Abraham going to be somebody who is pragmatic? Who plays it safe? Or is Abraham willing to go out on a limb? God promises him everything that he could possibly want in terms of a future. But it is in the realm of promise. It is in the realm of uncertainty. And this is the question. Is Abraham willing to go out on that limb, to take that leap of faith? I would like to note, and we will discuss this a little bit later on, faith needs to be grounded in reality. Faith needs to be grounded in the logical, in the rational. But ultimately, one takes a leap of faith into a realm of the unknown. The greater the degree of mystery, the more it is an act of faith. On the one hand, God tries to ground Abraham by telling Abraham, your future lies in the land that I will show you. As I mentioned before, everything that Avram could possibly want, children, wealth, fame, making an impact far beyond himself, all that will happen in the land that God will show him. And there's a very real logic. God is saying to Avram, if you want to become your own person, if you want to really actualize yourself, you have to leave your family's home. You have to leave the place where you grew up. It is only in a completely different framework that you can become your own person. It is actually even more than that. And perhaps we have to look back at chapter 10 in last week's parsha, when we have the description of how nations were formed. What are the components of a nation? When we look at chapter 10, it seems that you begin with a family who have a common language, who have a land which they settle in, who develop a culture. And as that family organically expands, they develop into a nation. The nation is the natural evolvement extension of the family unit, where within that unit, because of the intimacy of that family, you share a common language, you share a common outlook, and so do the nations evolve. God wants Avram to create a radically different concept of a nation. Whereas other people will define themselves by their family, by their land, by their language. The definition of Avraham is rooted in his relationship with God. At his core, Avraham is a man of God. And from that relationship, everything else follows. His relationship with God will lead him to having a family. His relationship with God will bring him to a particular land. And in that environment, he will eventually expand to become a nation. If one asks Avram, who are you? I am the lonely man of faith. I am an eccentric who believes in the one God who is invisible, who is beyond the natural order, who ultimately unites and harmonizes everything in creation. And so that this is the leap of faith of Abraham. is Avram prepared to detach himself from a worldview which is very much rooted in a social context to a worldview which has at its core a belief in God. In the previous parshiyot, we spoke about the destiny of humanity that was given to them by God in the very beginning of Bereishit, to be the striking, the balancing between majesty and humility. In the case of Avraham, when God says to him, Lech Lecha, and Avraham follows God, his relationship with God is rooted in humility. And from that humility sprouts forth the majesty. So that at the end of our parsha, when God makes the covenant of Brit Milah with Avraham, he says to him, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. The ultimate expression of majesty. Faith is a very lonely path. It is a very difficult path. And in fact, at each step along the way, Avraham goes through a process of where he detaches himself. Initially, he detaches himself from his father's house, from his land. But he has his soulmate that accompanies him, his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, the souls which they made in Haran. But as Avraham goes along his journey, there are moments when he has to leave behind Lot, his wife, and eventually where he may have to cut himself off from his sons, first Ishmael, and then Isaac. And it may be that when he comes to the last, the second Lech Lecha, he may also have to cut himself off from a relationship with God which seemed to be so clear and is now being called into question. Faith is a lonely path. There are no guarantees. It may be only after the fact that one can be validated. But it opens up unbelievable vistas. I would like to examine one story in our parsha which shows the difficulty of faith. After Avraham, or I should be more exact, Avram in our parsha, at least the beginning of the parsha, after Avram comes into the land of Israel and is promised by God in chapter 12, verse 7, to your seed I will give this land. In response to which, Avram builds an altar and eventually calls out in the name of God. In verse 10, Avram is presented with a new challenge. It does not say when they came to Egypt. It says when Avram came. And the rabbis say because Avram hid Sarai so that the Egyptians would not see her and perhaps think of taking her. And unfortunately, he was caught at customs. But what does this show us? That Avram does everything that he can to safeguard his reality, with the hope that God will reinforce his efforts. And according to Rashi, this is what faith is all about. You don't sit back and expect God to do everything. You have to take control of your destiny. You have to walk before God. You have to act as if there is no God. And only when you've done everything humanly possible do you then turn to God and say, God, I did whatever I could. Bring my efforts to fruition. As I mentioned earlier, Nachmanides recognizes this principle. And yet in our situation, Nachmanides says that Avram made a very serious mistake, bad judgment, to the point where Avram foreshadowed the eventual exile and enslavement of the Jews in Egypt. Why? Why does Nachmanides see this as a mistake? It would seem to be that Nachmanides feels that there are certain circumstances, exceptional moments, where a person cannot be pragmatic and where a person has to be prepared to tough it out to the bitter end, not knowing at all where it would lead him, but to feel that this is what God ultimately wants him to do. And once again, with the hope that if they're prepared to tough it out and follow what they see as the will of God, despite the difficulty of the circumstances, that perhaps in the end God will perform a miracle and deliver them. In our situation, if God has just brought Avram to the land and told him this is the land of his destiny, then Avram has to show his absolute commitment to that destiny, to not waver from it, and to stay in the land no matter what, no matter how difficult the circumstances, perhaps even to be prepared to die for that belief and that commitment which God expects of him. These are two different models of faith. I would argue that each one has a place in Judaism. And I would also argue that it is very difficult to know beforehand which is the appropriate path to take. On the one hand, what Rashi is saying, I think, is normative. And as a general rule of thumb, one should do whatever they possibly can to take control of their destiny. That is part of faith, to realize that God helps those that help themselves, to realize that you have to push yourself to your outer limits and not rely on miracles, to minimize the amount of divine intervention. And yet, there may be exceptional situations where you have to go out on a very thin limb, where the only thing perhaps that can save you is a miracle. It is very hard to know in advance when you're in that exceptional situation. It may only be in retrospect that the world, that God, will judge you and either validate or condemn what you did. And to show you how complicated it is in our situation, Rashi can say, in the end, God validated what Avram did over here. Because when I look at the end of the story, Avram emerges from Egypt, a very wealthy man. According to Rashi's understanding, one of the promises which God made, which is that I will bless you, was actualized at this moment. Because I will bless you means I will make you wealthy. So that one of the blessings has come about because of Avram's initiative. And Ramban's response is, you can't just look at the story in its immediate context, but you have to see the far-reaching ramifications of it. This story sets the precedent for the eventual exile and subjugation of the Jews in Egypt. So that, yes, Avram comes out a very wealthy man. And ultimately, the Jews will come out of Egypt with great wealth. But in the interim, the Jews experience an extremely difficult period of persecution and subjugation, which did not have to be had Avram remained in the land. I will not decide between these two positions. I leave it for you, the listener, to see which one resonates with you. But I would also like you to consider that both of these positions may have a place in Judaism, and both of these may show you complementary elements of what a man of faith is all about. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwager. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email via podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.